The Denver Broncos hosted Drive for Life 19 on Tuesday at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. Several players were on hand hanging out with donors who were there helping save lives. And even linebacker Dakota Watson himself hopped in the chair. This year, the goal was to have 1,250 donors come through at the Bonfils Blood Center's annual Denver Broncos Community Blood Drive.
Oh, it's fun. It's more interactive this year, so you'll be able to hang out with the fans and the little kids and just come up here and just show my support for them, thank them for giving blood.
Oh, this is the third year in a row I've come out here to the blood drive. It's just it's a unique event that I love coming and showing support for all the local residents here in Denver coming out, taking time out of their day to give blood and help a bigger cause than themselves. And anytime I could come and spend some time with these fans who cheer their hearts out on Sundays for us, I come back and talk to them a little bit about their stories.
Drive for Life is Colorado's largest single-day community blood drive. And over the past 18 years, more than 34,000 donors, just like me, have come through.
Oh, yeah, saving lives. And, there's so much they can use the blood for. And just the amount of people that need it, it's always going to be a need. So to have this event every year is crucial.
The Bonfils Blood Center needs to collect more than 3,000 donations each week just to meet the everyday needs of patients in Colorado. A great turnout at this year's blood drive. It only took me about an hour to donate blood, and
jeez,
guys, it really does make a difference. I know that you like that stand-up.
Oh, my goodness. You in the dark with a needle in your arm. Terrifying.
Great. Okay, well, we've talked a lot about the Broncos defense. Let's talk about the Broncos offense. It's a group that's looking to get back on track today against the Raiders group of defense that's given up a league-worst 6.4 yards per play. Mace, how are the Broncos offense going to get back on track today?
Well, it's cliche to say this, but it starts with first down. The Broncos, they're setting themselves up in some poor positions with their struggles on first down. They're 24th in the league, averaging 4.88 yards per first down play, and they're struggling running the ball on first down. Well, you're going against the Raiders, and they're dead last in the league in first down defense, averaging 6.35 yards given up per first down. So for the Broncos to succeed offensively, they need to get going on first down. They need to run the ball on first down. Tonight's an opportunity to get that going in much the same way they had an opportunity against the Texans defense 13 days ago that was struggling against the run. Broncos made plays then. They need to do it again tonight.
It was a physical game last week against the Chargers. We saw Russell Okung, Matt Paradis get a day off this week. We saw Devontae Booker with his shoulder wrapped up. He says it's feeling better now. But last year against this Raiders group, the Broncos failed. The offense failed to score a touchdown, and Khalil Mack had that 5-sack game.
Well, yeah, and when you've got a guy like Khalil Mack just in the Broncos' backfield, it makes it hard for Broncos to put drives together. Mace mentioned it, 27th in the league as far as total yardage, 326 yards per. I also think that third down, guys, hasn't been great. 36% on third downs. Mace, you just mentioned it. When you put yourself in third and long, that's a product of not converting on first and second down. So one of the guys that knows the Broncos need to be better on those first and second downs is Trevor Siemian, and he believes that to get better in those drives, it'll depend on the consistency of his own play.
It's a combination of things. I think sometimes you assume things or you see things wrong. You think they're in another coverage. And you know, they're pretty good, too. Sometimes they get you. So I'm kind of trying to balance that. But bottom line is I need to be more consistent.
The key to balance is you got to stay on, you got to run plays. You know, and we had 50-something plays last week and got to find a way to be more balanced as a group. But you also got to do what the defense is telling you to do, too. So it's a commitment, and it's one you got to hang on to, but at the same time, you got to stay aggressive too in this league. You got to make some plays.
For us as offense, you know, we just got to continue to extend drives and make big plays happen and stay on the offense longer and, you know, have our defense get rest up and, you know, keep them fresh throughout the game.
A byproduct, guys, of those drives will be limiting the number of turnovers that the Broncos will give the Raiders. The Raiders are first in the league with 74% in the red zone. So if you give them a short field, they're going to take advantage. It's going to be important to get those drives going and limit the turnovers.
Yes, it will be. And you heard from Devontae Booker there. He's feeling healthier. Let's take a look at the Broncos inactives for tonight's game against the Raiders. We'll start with Austin Davis, Cody Latimer, Aqib Talib, Kayvon Webster, Connor McGovern, Billy Turner, and Darius Kilgo. Mace, what stands out to you there from that list?
Well, the fact that you've got three tight ends up once again, no tight end on the list. So A.J. Derby is playing tonight. He's going to make his Broncos debut. It's going to be fascinating to see how they use him. Are they going to use him in some slot-type situations? Because he's a very good receiving target, led NFL tight ends, in receptions and yardage in the preseason. How are they going to use him? I think that's kind of the big thing. Cody Latimer down for a third consecutive week. And a third consecutive week, we're seeing three tight ends up. So I think that's a little bit of a sea change for the Broncos. Clearly, they want to get the tight ends more involved.
Yeah, one of the guys, too, Mace, we just mentioned Torrey Nixon getting a jersey today. Those young defensive backs are going to look to the veterans in that secondary, and that includes T.J. Ward. T.J. Ward is a Bay Area kid. He grew up in the shadow of the Coliseum, went to De La Salle High School in nearby Oakland. So I do think that they're going to lean heavily on Ward, and we had a chance to catch up with Ward at the team hotel yesterday, who said he's looking forward to seeing some friendly faces amongst all the mean ones down there in the black hole. Broncos just arrived at the team hotel. We are lucky to be joined now by TJ Ward from Oakland, California. And TJ, you're flying back into the Bay Area. You see the water. Does it bring back memories of home?
I was actually asleep the whole flight trying to get some rest. But, you know, stepping off the plane, the air just reminds me of home, smelling that Bay Area air. So, yeah, it's good to be home.
This is a tough team that you guys are going to be playing against. Has that improved the focus? Has that tightened the focus a little bit when you do have a big opponent like that coming into a big Sunday night game like this?
Nah. I mean, the way we prepare every week from week to week is pretty intense in itself. And we've had some good opponents coming up to the Oakland Raiders. So if we would increase our preparation for them, it just show you our lack of preparation in the past. So, no, man, we come in the same way and we treat everyone the same.
When you have an offense like that on the other side, I know the no-fly zone loves their challenges. Do you take this as a personal challenge for you guys to show the league what you can do?
It's just another opportunity. The league knows what we can do. We show the league what we can do 100 times. You know, we just got to go out there and do it consistently, and that's the difference.
Are you looking forward to seeing some friendly faces? I know there are going to be a lot of mean faces out there, the stands in the black hole, but are you looking forward to having some familiar faces in the stands for you today?
Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, every time I come home, I see that random person I've known growing up in the stands that calls my name out. So, you know, I'm expecting that. And other than that, you know, I'm a Denver Bronco. It's all hate coming from the other side.
TJ, thanks a lot.
All right.
Phil and Mace, I don't know about you guys, but when I am traveling and I'm nervous, can't sleep, I'm restless, clearly not the case for TJ Ward, who slept the entire flight out here to Oakland. So his focus and his mindset in the right spot.
Yeah, he's very comfortable playing in big-time games like this, especially in front of his family. So we're expecting a big game from TJ Ward. And now it's time to get to our favorite part of the show. We all love it. Andrew Mason's three keys to the game.
First of all, I'm a little bit distracted by the guy who's having his chest pain in the stands up here. It's like a date like David Putty.
Guess what teams.
On to the three keys. Number one, sustain long drives. Gary Kubiak talked this week. He wants a balanced offense, but the best way to get that balance is to get some lengthy drives going. And goes back to something I mentioned earlier. You want to be productive on first down. You can run the ball on first down. I think everything the Broncos want offense is going to flow from there. Number two, minimize Oakland's big plays. They have 39 plays of at least 20 yards so far this season, including 10 last week. The teams that have limited those big plays have had the most success against Oakland. They only have 5 20-plus plays in their two losses. Broncos need to limit that. And finally, a quick start to try to neutralize the crowd. It's their first Sunday night game on NBC in the regular season ever. Reminds me a little bit of 2004. The Broncos go to Cincinnati. They play against the Bengals. They hadn't had a home Monday night game back when Monday night was the big primetime game, guys. They hadn't had a home Monday night game in 14 years. The crowd was electric. The Bengals got off to a quick start. The Broncos didn't recover. That's the kind of thing that could happen tonight. That's why I think you want to get out to a quick start, get the place a little bit nervous. Remember, the Raiders, they're 6-2, but their point differential, it's a little bit like that of a 4-4 team. There are some numbers that show maybe not as good as they are. The Broncos need to come out and exert their dominance in a place that they've had a lot of success the last few years, guys.
It is a very big game for both sides with the top spot in the AFC West on the line. It's also the start of the NFL Salute to Service campaign, and Broncos first-round pick Paxton Lynch is taking part by representing the Air Force and to pay tribute to his cousin. So he decided to give his cousin a call, and we were behind the scenes there to capture it all.
Who this is?
What are you up to?
You know, I'm just relaxing, man. Just got done with the hard day's work. What are you doing?
Just
this is Paxton Lynch, and I'm proud to support the NFL Salute to Service campaign. During this year's Salute to Service campaign, I'll be representing the Air Force.
Mainly because of my cousin Drew. You know, growing up, we always spent a lot of time together, especially when we lived in Florida together. We were always at each other's houses every weekend. So, you know, he was one of my best friends growing up, and he always supported me with everything I did. So whenever I had the opportunity to support him, I wanted to do that. Are they wearing you out there?
Every day. Are they wearing
you out? Yeah, they got me running around all over the place up here. But it's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. He pursued something that he wanted to do. I know as we were kids, he always talked about it. But, you know, as a kid, you talk about a lot of stuff. So as he grew up, I'm glad that he stuck to what he wanted to do as a kid. And now he's doing it and fulfilling it. So I'm proud of him.
I think I'm going to come out there in November to watch one of your games.
Well, you know, I got a ticket for you if you make your way up here. It's very important to show your support for, you know, those people who are protecting us and, you know, giving us our freedom over here and giving us the opportunity to, you know, pursue our dreams that we have. You know, playing in the NFL is one of mine, so I know that if we didn't have those people, you know, fighting for us and keeping us safe, you know, we wouldn't even have the opportunity. I just wanted you to know that I supported you too, man.
Oh, I know, man. I'm honored that you thought about me and you're doing this. I'm real proud of you, man.
I'm proud of you too, bro. You just keep doing your thing. I'm going to keep doing my thing. And, you know, we'll link back up.
Anything for you.
All right, Drew. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man.
Glad we were there to capture that moment. The Broncos Salute to Service game will be in a few weeks when the Chiefs come to town. It's the Broncos' only home game in November. And now it's time to revisit that trivia question. Hopefully we stumped you this week. Since the start of the 2015 season, the Broncos' defense has scored 9 touchdowns, which is tied for the most in the NFL during that span. Which two teams are they tied with, Mace?
Think. Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, that's one.
Kansas City?
Oh,
yeah,
he got
Mace.
It.
That's right. Yeah, we've seen Marcus Peters, of course, yes, return a couple of interceptions for touchdowns. So, yes, Carolina and Kansas City are the two answers to this week's trivia question. We can't stump Mace every single week.
No, not every week.
Okay, well, we're getting closer to kickoff here. It's time for us to close out the show with our final thought for this game.
No fly zone. It's a weekend without Aqib Talib, but Chris Harris Jr. and Bradley Roby against Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper. I think that's the one-on-one matchup to watch, and they do well in those matchups. Broncos defense can do the same things it's done to other teams.
I'm going to say contain Khalil right. Mack. We've seen Bruce Irvin come over, and now they have a tandem similar to the Broncos. And we know that Khalil Mack can be a game wrecker. We saw him do it in the Mile High City last year. And so they're going to have to mix up calls. They're going to have to add extra protection there. And we'll see if they can contain Khalil Mack tonight.
Yeah, and my final thought, get to Derek Carr. 183 yards the Broncos are limiting teams to. That's best in the NFL. But with a lot of young defensive backs, as Mace mentioned, they're going to need to give them some time, minimize the time that they're in coverage against that vaunted Raiders core. But like Phil said, that'll do it for us here in the Oakland Coliseum. Be sure to tune in to DenverBroncos.com after the game. Phil Milani and myself will have our video reports from the locker room. Mace will have the written word covered up on DenverBroncos.com. But, and also Snapchat, we will be on Snapchat, Broncos official, so make sure you're tuning into that as well. But, again, that'll do it for us. For Andrew Mason, Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. Enjoy the game, everybody. The Broncos and the Raiders are coming up next.
The Broncos travel to Oakland for an AFC West showdown against the Raiders. Both teams boast a 6-2 record going into tonight's matchup in the Black Hole.
Best day of the week, baby. Stay tuned.
Through 8 games, Denver leads the league in sacks with 26 and over 70 quarterback hits.
He's going to go down, and Bob Miller has him, and that'll be a sack.
The Broncos will look to continue that pressure against Derek Carr and a Raiders offense that's ranked 5th in total yards per game.
Carr, a
Denver's talented secondary looks to impose a no-fly zone in front of a hostile Raiders nation.
Darius Stewart with the interception. Into it out of the hands of Roby. He's got it. Roby on the west sideline. 45-40. 15-10. 5. To the house. Touchdown, Denver.
A young core of running backs will lead the charge on the ground, while Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders look for another opportunity to shine in primetime.
Simi loads up. He wants Sanders left west sideline. Sanders makes the catch at the Houston 2-yard line.
The legendary divisional rivalry is back in the spotlight, and the victor will claim control of the West.